You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Monday. Joining us from Texas is Mike Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How you doing?
I've had better days.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Texas in the news yesterday and not a good way.
No.
The whole nation, the whole world watches. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. You know, my thoughts are, you know, again, this is, you know, and I said this, we had the ladies luncheon or the ladies ministry, the ones that I teach for. Right. And, they had a luncheon and dude, they had probably about 98 women in this room. And I was the only guy. And it was let me tell you, first of all, when ladies plan luncheons and stuff for other ladies, guys, we don't even compare. Their food's better. Their decorations are better. Their preparations are better. Everything is better. So being the only, I introduced myself as, okay, time to address the only elephant in this room. You know, cause I was there. Because that was one of the primary features as far as what I've done with the women, and they wanted me to talk to kind of, it's not about guns, it's about awareness and why the world's the world the way it is right now. And, you know, so one of the things I did talk about was getting past the trying to find a why, you know, and me and you talked about this last time on, well, I forget what tragedy had happened, but you know,
the Las Vegas thing.
Yeah, the Las Vegas. Like, people were waiting for the why, you know. Oh, what? Why? Why did he do this? Because he's evil. Because there's evil in the world. Because there are bad people that want to do bad things to you. Well, they didn't do this 50 years ago. And they didn't do it 1,000 years ago. And they didn't do it 100,000 years ago. Who cares? They're doing it right now. And, you know, that's the point, you know, when I talk to women about is, quit worrying about yesterday. Yesterday's not going to help you for today. And it's not going to help you for tomorrow. Especially if you're in that denial stage of, I just don't understand. Understand this. There are people out there that want to cause harm to you. At all levels. They may not want to kill you, but they don't care about you. They don't get up every day and go, gosh, you know what? I'm going to go out and make the world a better place today. No. You get in their way. You cross their path. You cross paths with pure evil in the situation like this guy. Call it what you want. Mental hardship, mental stress, mental disorders, mental whatever. You know, it's simple. There's good and there's evil. There's good and bad. Bad people will continue to do bad things. How do you find them? You don't. They just surface every once in a while, and when you do, you eliminate it. You don't try and counsel it. You don't try and do anything. You just get rid of it like a rabid dog. You put it down. Because what about those, you know, what, 26 people's potential lives, their lives, what they had, their freedom. You know, they're gone. Luckily, this guy's dead. Now we don't have to go through a trial. We don't have to go through all the speculation of how he was born into a battered home and He cut apart squirrels and dissected dogs. Who cares? Prepare yourself. Be prepared for one day that you're going to cross paths with someone that's going to do you harm, and you better have a plan. You better have a plan. Otherwise, you're going to be a name etched in a stone or a metal plate hanging in some memorial park. And tragic it may be, but that's not my, I have no intention to be that guy. You know, oh, Gunner was a good Marine, man. God, what a tragedy that he faced. No. You know, and I'm, but you know me, Max. I'm not that guy. I'm not a guy that walks with, looks over my shoulder everywhere I go and, you know, and always has my hand on my head ready. No. But I have a plan. You know, as General James Mattis, one of his famous, I don't know if he ever said it, but, you know, it's one of his things that we always said was, you know, no better friend, no worse enemy. Or every time you shake a man's hand, have a plan to kill him. You know, and people really didn't understand that because you never know when it's going to surface. But, you know, and I I've said before, in our church, my concern is the crossfire. There's a lot of people that carry guns. And people are, you know, when I've said that before to certain people, they're like, what? You carry guns in church? Where does it say in the Bible that you can't do that? You know, what about protecting yourself? What about protecting those that you love, those that are around you? You know, and that's my stance too, proper training. Not everybody. If you're going to take on that responsibility, then take the next step and get the proper training. Don't just say, I got a gun, and now I'm protected. That doesn't work either. There's responsibility that comes with that.
Yeah, there's, you know, I know North Dakota liberalized their gun, gun owner and gun carry law in that, hey, look, it's a right under the Constitution. And most, a lot of the sheriffs in the state said, hey, look, what we're concerned about is that people carrying weapons that don't have any training with them. You know, we're all about get the training and we get it. But if you don't get the training, then pretty difficult to imagine, as you said, the crossfire, as people, you know,
with good intention,
right?
With all good intention, we're going to try and do something. You know, in this case, you had two individuals that basically threw harm away and decided to act on it. You know, two civilian people that chased this guy down and ultimately resulted in his demise. But, you know, when I read these posts or these headlines, and this is from the Washington Post, investigators hunt for motive after 26 kills. Why? What's the motive going to tell us? Is it a glaring, you know, is it as simple as it's these people? These people, you know, and identify them. So when you see them walk out of town, you're like, oh, he's one of them. No, it's not like that. What's the motive going to tell us? It's going to give us solace and comfort? How? You know, it doesn't give you solace and comfort. It doesn't put things to rest. You know, it just makes you wonder why more. But this whole, the trying to find the why, you know, there is no why. And it just kills me when you hear these things. And it's just, ugh.
So I think that, you know, this discussion, you know, is a very kind of simple one, you know, when you look at his, and again, my advice to everybody, if you haven't already done so, go to the website 538 and read the things that they've written about gun violence in the United States and begin to understand what the problem is. Because I heard actually somebody, in my opinion, talk about it, in the way that we should be looking at it, but I don't know that we can ever get there. One is that, look, this guy got a dishonorable discharge. which is a felony in most states, which is looked at as the equivalent of a felony, which means you cannot own a weapon. Okay?
He acquired them illegally.
Right. So the whole, you know, gun control issue is not relevant here. Okay? We're talking about somebody who is bent upon acquiring weapons. Two, he was either evil or let's just say he had mental health issues. Okay? And the person I saw interviewed said yesterday, we've got to get to a point in this country where we can cross-index people that have mental health issues, that are diagnosed with issues. And cross-index those while they're diagnosed like this, so that A, we can warn their families, and B, you can't purchase a gun.
Right.
But we'll never
do
it.
Denied a concealed handgun permit here in Texas.
He was?
Yeah, based on his background.
But we won't do that based on HIPAA laws because you have a right to your privacy.
Yeah.
And so the right to be, the right for the group to be safe will be trumped by your right to privacy. Because, you know,
every time.
So to me, so when you cross index those databases, when you get, you know, diagnosis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, little letter supposed to go home to Mike. He's got a little flag on his medical record. That flag notifies, you know, whoever maintains the database that this guy has been diagnosed with schizophrenia. He is being treated with these drugs. And again, and so we're not so much worried about the mass shooting, because statistically those are infinitesimally small. What we're more worried about is suicide, which is 2/3 of the gun deaths in the country. And so if you want to make a dent in that, you got to close the loop on mental health and notification of people who have these diagnoses and are on these medicines. But we won't do that. And so what we'll default to is a stupid and irrelevant debate about guns in the country. And as you begin to get your hands around the problem, and again, I say that website does a great job, and it goes down all these little rabbit holes. Depression of specifically white men over the age of 45, who form a huge portion of the suicide statistic. Domestic violence issues. What the city of Portland tried to do relative to reaching out and doing something about the guns in the hands of domestic violence perpetrators and getting them away from guns, and how difficult that was. And they also do a thing where they go down a rabbit hole relative to inner city murder and things that New Orleans tried to do about that. And so as you begin to get a better understanding of the actual problem, the solutions are there. The question is, will we go there? Or will you get pushback from all these different health organizations saying, oh, no, no, that information, you could never give that up. And let me tell you, we went through this bullshit in the Marine Corps, and I happened to come across it on two different cases, on two different suicides. Okay? These guys were being treated, and Mike can tell you about this, because the mental health issues that were happening in the 1st Marine Division were huge after 2004, after 2003, people came back and I want to say they had like 30 mental health professionals available, and that they by 2011-12 they were up to over 150. Okay. And so there was a big problem with Marines going in and telling a therapist that I have suicidal ideations, I have homicidal ideations, and then therapists not willing to tell the command that so that they could intervene. They just continue to treat him. And then the Marine kills himself. And then we find out in the postmortem, oh, yeah, he's been talking about this for 4 months.
Right.
What? So then specifically it was put in that these, that the therapist had to notify the commanding officer when this happened so that we could try to do the right thing for that Marine who we've gone to war with, who we love, who we care about. And they still didn't do it. And I can tell you on two separate occasions, one a Marine in 9th Com and one a Marine in a Radio Battalion, they both had suicidal ideations and ultimately killed themselves. And they and the command was never told because the providers said, you know, we really don't, you guys, you know, and we didn't hang out with the providers. Like in terms of who played with who at recess, we did not normally hang out with the mental health providers. They're a different kind of crew than the guys who joined the Marine Corps. And I think in many ways they looked down upon us. And so it was a big issue. So even in such acute circumstances as the United States military, we wouldn't be told. And so, but that's what you got to get to if you're gonna help, if you're gonna intervene, if you're gonna protect people. And it just, you know, doesn't seem like we will go there as a nation. So, I got an email for you, Mac. I'm curious relative to the gunner. I know he's involved in his church. Has there been any mention to him about now some kind of security at the church? Mike, is that...
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to anybody at church yet about it. I'm sure there'll be some discussion about it here coming up. But no, nothing right now, you know, that will change anything at what we go to. So
got it. The here's another email, Mac. I'm curious, from the gunner's perspective, was there anything that stood out about this incident for him?
No, nothing glaring. No, this is just a guy who had some trouble that, you know, decided to do what he did. So,
yeah, you know, as I watched the news yesterday, to me, it's like, you know, stupid 101, right? Gets a weapon, mm-hmm. puts on his black, you know, his black tactical gear, and goes out and does something stupid. And again, I think everybody should thank God that whoever engaged him happened to be there when they were there, or else, you know, evidently he had more weapons inside of his truck, and I don't know if he had more ammunition, and you know, he would have continued to do what he was doing, which was to kill people. So thank God for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
In other news,
yeah. man, how is you know, Mike? Let me ask you, get your comments on this. The thing I don't understand about the Berg doll thing is that there's two components to the Berg doll case. One is, you know, what he did, what he's guilty of. The second one is how it impacts good order and discipline in the United States military, because verdicts in the military, it's not only about you, okay?
Right.
It's not only about justice in you, like in civilian courts. It is. So I over the weekend, as I thought about that, I thought, how does that verdict send the right message to everybody watching that, hey, look, it's not just about you and what you feel. You have a greater responsibility, and that's why he's going to jail for another 5 years. I honestly just don't understand how you empathize with him saying, yeah, you know, he really went through a lot, and so we're going to consider that time served, and he was beaten, he was treated terribly by the Taliban, and we're just going to let him go home. It's
self-inflicted. That's
right.
That shouldn't have been a point. That shouldn't have been brought up. I mean, he got himself in that mess. And, you know, that's where we're at with this. And it's just, yeah, it kills me that this is now the discussion.
I think that I read that the judge doesn't have to justify his opinion. I think he needs to, though. I think the rest of us need to understand the footnotes in terms of what mitigated his actions, what mitigated a family dealing with a soldier shot through the head, you know, who can't walk, who can't talk, who can't feed himself for the rest of his life, a SEAL being medically retired for being shot through the leg. What mitigated all of that in your mind? I think it's important that the leaders in the American military understand that. And so, you know, you can put it in its appropriate context, because what it looks like is, you know what, if you are so offended and you have to do something, you know, against your country, like Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning, like Bo Bergdahl, we'll listen to your explanation. We'll listen to it.
Right.
When to me, you and I got raised, Mike, on, I don't care what you think. I care about what you did, and I care about your responsibility to other people. That's how we got raised. The most important thing in here is not your feelings. But that's, right. It seems like all you hear now, well, how did that make you feel?
Oh, and then just, it's ridiculous. I mean, it really is absurd that this is now the new norm when it comes to, you know, the compassion that we have for, you know, for him and what he did. So, oh, it's ridiculous. Hey, on a silly note, Have you seen the stuff that came out on Donald Trump's visit to Japan?
No.
Oh, okay.
One of the things I saw was the bar is pretty low relative to his performance. As long as he doesn't throw up on the Japanese prime minister, he will have outperformed the elder Bush in the last trip to Japan. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, what's also funny too is this whole issue with the. Have you seen this whole thing that came out about the koi pond?
No.
Okay, so the Prime Minister of Japan at the palace. I guess there's some ceremonial koi that live in this thing, and they went to go feed them.
What's a koi? Wait. What's a koi? I didn't even know what you're talking about.
A fish, like a goldfish, like an expensive goldfish.
Oh, okay.
So the news reports the fact that this whole thing, the issues that came up was, what the news channel showed was President Trump dumping his remainder of his food into this koi pond. Well, of course, all these liberals are so upset that he could have killed these koi, and that was disrespectful. By dumping all that food in there without really thinking about it. But then what came out was, and it was hilarious, was the fact that when you look at the full clip, what happened was the prime minister dumped his before. He dumped it before Trump did, and so Trump was just following suit. You know? And now it's this whole, well, okay, the actions are, the fact that two wrongs don't make a right. Just because the prime minister did doesn't mean that Trump should have done it.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And that's the stupidity that behind all. I mean, like, are you kidding me? This is what we're arguing about. You know, if the president of the United States dumps the remainder of his food into a koi pond, and you think that all the koi are going to die because of it, and you know, it's just, again, this whole, you've got to be kidding me. That's the argument. That's the absurdity that, you know, where we draw the line. Oh.
Here's an interesting little email. Mac, I heard you say, and then I looked up a story about barrels melting last week. Artillery barrels melting. Could the gunner explain how the hell that would happen?
What do you mean they melt?
In Syria, let me see if I can find let me see if I can find the story. Here it is right here.
I haven't heard this story.
Artillery battery, Marine artillery barrage of Raqqa was so intense, two howitzers burned out.
Really?
Marines providing artillery support to U.S.-backed Syrian fighters in Raqqa fired so many consecutive rounds they burned out the barrels of two M777-155 howitzers. The story was told directly to Army Sergeant Major John Wayne Troxell, the senior enlisted advisor, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joseph Dunford, by a Marine Corps battery commander. Every minute of every hour, we were putting some kind of fire on ISIS in Raqqa, whether it was mortars, artillery, or rockets. Hellfires, armed drones, you name it, Troxell told reporters on Monday. He had visited Raqqa a couple weeks ago for a period of 4 hours. Quote, what we have seen, in the minute we take the pressure off ISIS, they regenerate and come back in a hurry. They are very resilient. Nevertheless, the burnout of two M777 howitzers highlights the amount of artillery shells that rained down upon ISIS in Raqqa. Quote, I've never heard of it. Normally, your gun goes back to the depot for full reset well before that happens, a former artillery officer told Military Times on a condition of anonymity. That's a shitload of rounds, though. And that's quoted in the story. There's no asterisk or anything. How about that? The rounds it would take to burn out a barrel is dependent on the level of charge and the range to the target, he said. The level of charge of the round is also a function of the weight of the shell being used and the distance to the target. We're kind of proud of this. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I don't know what that number is. How many rounds that would take?
Right.
To me, that would be an awful lot of rounds. I mean, I never saw barrels being melted, artillery rounds. I mean, that would be a lot.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, how would you know it's what does it look like? They don't say melted. It says
drooping, or
it says burned out. Is that, would you get droop in the barrel, and that it would become, would it would permanently droop?
I don't know if it would droop. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not an artilleryman. I don't know how they gauge that or what that would look like. So, but to me, that would be a lot of rounds.
No question. Text message. Do Arty guys have gunners? Not like guys who pull lanyards and things like that. Do they have an MOS equivalent of a gunner?
Mm-mm.
They don't?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Interesting.
Only infantry-based units, infantry regiments, battalions. No, artillery guys don't. LAR does, because there's infantry in there.
So they have a gunner. And that's new.
That's reconnaissance units have them, because there's infantry guys in there.
And LAR gunner, that was the first time I ever saw, I mean, it was a tank thing, right? The master gunner at LAR. That was, well, that's more of a title, though, yes, isn't it? The master gunner? Now is a gunner there.
Yeah. A master gunner is a guy who goes to a school that's called Bradley Master Gunner, and you go to Bradley Master Gunner School in Fort Benning, Georgia, and you learn about the 25-millimeter Bushmaster. But that's an enlisted guy. It could be a sergeant, staff sergeant, gunner sergeant, a sergeant at company level, staff sergeant at company level, and then gunnery sergeants at battalion level.
Are you a 25-millimeter master gunner?
I was a master gunner. I was a master gunner at First LAR when I was a staff sergeant. I went to the school.
I'll tell you what, that was one of the easiest guns I ever fired. I mean, in terms of, and I fired the old one when we didn't have, you know, the optics weren't very sophisticated. It just had a, I would tell you, the sight reticle looked like a spreadsheet. Just had a grid on it. And all you had to do was, first round shots, locate where they hit relative to the target, take that point on the grid, put it on the target, boom, next round hit, 100%. It was fun, easy, accurate weapon. It was awesome. I love that thing.
Right.
I love that thing. The Mac, any happy stuff happen over the weekend that we can talk about? The news seemed to be universally bad. I, too, was pretty bummed out about the whole Bergdahl thing. I just don't really get it. Sometimes I think people are too smart for their own good. I think in this case, whatever mitigated it, for him to get nothing seemed to me a joke. And I think most of the people I spoke with, and I didn't speak with that many, just friends, and they felt the same way. What a joke. This dude got over. Now he's going to get out, write a book, make a movie, become a millionaire, blah, 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 blah. Are there laws against that?
Yeah, nothing was imposed by the judge. Yeah, the court could have imposed a simple, any money that he made out of this would have went to, you know,
the victims,
the members of this, the surviving members of the victims. But that wasn't done. So, no, he's free. And that was one of the comments that I made that, you know, was kind of stupid about this whole thing was the fact that he's gonna make a book deal. There's no doubt about it, man. Someone's gonna write a story because he's a victim, and then that's what will happen. So insane, crazy world.
Another question. How often do you see guys get that much time in the brig while you're on active duty? Pretty rare. You got to do something pretty bad to get.
You got to do something really bad.
Yeah, to get thrown in the brig for that amount of time. And in this case, I mean, absolutely appropriate, assaulting his wife and his child. Come on. I mean, this guy has shown signs of being a sick person for a long time. Somebody who just didn't, something wrong in his head. And so I think as more and more comes out about it, you're going to see how screwed up he was in the head. And there were probably different opportunities to catch it. And we didn't catch it, you know, primarily because we don't have mechanisms in place to catch stuff like this, because he's got a right to his privacy, and until he breaks another law, then we can't touch him. And so it goes. So the another question. Did I hear the gunner say that he carries his weapon in church? Did you say that?
Yeah.
Is there a commandment or anything like that, that deals with that? Thou shalt not carry in church?
Not that I know of.
I don't recall that one.
Yeah, I don't remember reading that one anywhere. But, no, I mean, there's a lot of people that do, so it's not rare, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that do. I think that's funny that people are kind of like, what? They find that odd. I find it odd that you wouldn't.
Hey, Mac, have you seen some of the things that had come out of Donna Brazile's book and her interviews.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that? Yeah, you know, I'll give you a thought on that. Either Donna Brazile is crazy, or she's one of the most morally courageous people that around, because she is, she's written stuff in that book that literally takes on the Democratic Party and kind of, how would I call it? An unforced error. It's like she didn't have to do this. She could have taken those secrets, you know, to her grave. And Fox is reporting that over 100 Clinton staffers with Hillary for America have issued a rebuttal to the claims made in Donna Brazile's book. The Drudge Report reported that Brazile writes she was haunted by the murder of DNC Seth Rich. And that was a guy who was thought to have leaked emails, and then he was killed on the street in D.C., and his murder's never been solved. But Matt Drudge writes in her book, Brazile writes she was haunted by the murder of DNC Seth Rich and feared for her own life, shutting the blinds so snipers could not see her. That's crazy stuff. But again, Really, is it?
I don't find it crazy.
I do. Come on. Is it crazy? Of course it's crazy. You know, the thought that we can't have a primary in the Democratic Party without it being bought by Hillary Clinton.
But, I mean, look who you're involving. Look who you're talking about. You're talking about the most corrupt person that we've ever known. That people have taken a blind eye, and she gets a pass just because of her last name. You know, and all the weird shit that's happened in her life, all the stuff that any normal person would have been crucified over, she's walked away unscathed. I mean, literally, no questions asked. I mean, just, again, the Espionage Act, you know, for having classified material and not handling it correctly. You know, for us, that's a sentence you go to jail for. You know, and that, this uranium deal where her husband gives a speech to a bunch of Russian business compadres, they in turn all of a sudden buy uranium from the United States, or, you know, 20% of it. No one sees a problem with that. No one. Business as usual. That's what I find absolutely absurd, crazy. I mean, and there's dozens of things that you can pin her name to. That, again, normal people would pay with their freedom. But no one brings it up. It's just this status quo. I mean, and then this thing dealing with the election. You know, a year before, she basically buys everything with the, you know, her nomination to the DNC. And so, yeah.
So you're not surprised?
No, not at least. What I'm surprised about is that people, again, are questioning people like Donna Brazile. What does she have to gain?
Well, I agree. That's the crazy part about all of it is that, you know, Montana Man said she just writing a book trying to make money. Yeah, I got it. But she could have wrote a book and wrote a lot of things without writing the stuff that she wrote. I mean, she gets the blowtorch out in this book to the major franchise of the Democratic Party, and that is the Clinton franchise. And it's pretty amazing. So it'll be interesting to see to see what comes out of this. Here's another email. Mac, do you think Saudi Arabia is going to war and not going to continue the proxy stuff in Yemen, but will actually go to war? Let me tell you, did you see the report, Mike? When somebody launches a cruise missile at your major airport,
yeah,
I don't know if you're at war, but it looks a lot like at war.
Yeah, it looks like it. It smells like it. It has everything classic of the this is war.
Yeah, it looks like a cruise missile. It acts like a cruise missile. It explodes like a cruise missile. Somebody shot it at the major airport in your country. I'm not sure if you don't think you're at war, but the rest of us think you are. Okay, so memo to you: you might get some people together, I mentioned earlier in the show. You're seeing things coming out of Saudi Arabia that nobody's seen in a long time. People being rounded up for corruption and that are princes and things like that. That's pretty big stuff. So the tectonic plates are moving inside Saudi Arabia. It'll be interesting to see where they all end up. But that was another that was probably, in my opinion, that was the biggest story. Even though the president is in Asia, I thought by far the biggest story was the rumblings out of Saudi Arabia. And pretty amazing stuff. You're reading a couple books, though. Tell us what you're reading.
I'm reading a book called Scalia Speaks. It's a collection of his speeches and basically who he was. In what I find really the most interesting thing about the book so far is the fact that the foreword is written by Ruth Ginsburg.
Ooh.
You know, one of the most liberal justices we've had.
Right.
And what she says about Justice Scalia really, you know, where she speaks very highly of him. I mean, they were really good friends in her foreword and the respect that she had for this guy. But just a very interesting man, interesting character.
Here's another one. So what do you guys do on Sunday now that you don't watch the NFL? Mike, what do you do on Sunday now that you don't watch the NFL?
If I'm watching anything, I'm watching NASCAR.
Good.
Yeah, I know you're not a big NASCAR fan.
I'm not. It's not just NASCAR. I've never been a big car racing guy at all. So if you're not doing that, what are you doing also?
Reading books. Another book I'm reading about is The Marines of George Company in Korea. You know, the things that they went through. Yeah.
That, you know, we think of, you know, if you look at The Chosen, Reservoir, right, you look at where the 1st Marine Regiment was, they were bringing up the rear. The 5th and 7th Marines, the Division CP at a place called, Hagaruri? Was that Sydney, Mike, off the top of my head?
Yeah, Hagaruri, yep.
Yeah, and then around the western side of the reservoir were the 7th Marine Regiment and the 5th Marine Regiment. Their fight just to get back to the division is a blow-your-mind fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they fought encircled. They were encircled the whole time. But that is those Marines are now enshrined in the pantheon of heroes in Valhalla.
Oh yeah,
what
you're
they
talking about
did,
a rifle company fighting off regiments of Chinese, holding them, so that the regiment, the division can pass through. You know, basically they're sacrificing their lives.
Now, Golf Company, what would that have been? 2-1 or?
I'm not there yet. I'm not sure.
What battalion, what regiment?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure.
Let me tell you, it is, that's why I said when we were talking last week, the greatest, you know, we were talking about greatest campaign or battle, greatest event in the Marine Corps, and that's, to me, the Chosen is crazy.
Yeah, by far.
It's
yeah.
crazy. Mike says Guadalcanal, and they're similar, and I would accept Guadalcanal because we were novices in that business, but wow, to include the weather. All right, sir, anything else you want to report?
No, I mean, it's going to be a busy week. Well, we have Veterans Day coming up.
That's right, Marine Corps birthday coming up.
Marine Corps birthday on Friday.
I got to decide what I'm gonna give my speech about.
Yeah, good luck.
So, what am I supposed to talk about, like, what's important about being a Marine?
I would talk about, yeah, what's important to be a Marine in today's Marine Corps.
In today's Marine Corps.
Yeah, talk about moral courage. Put an emphasis on the lack of, the need for more.
Wow. Okay, can I tell you what I was going to talk about?
What?
And you and I have talked about this on the program, because I've, for whatever reason, this is in my head. Like, what are you going to say? You're just going to be some lame-ass old dude up there. They want to have dinner, and you're like,
Right.
I don't want to be that guy. I mean, I sat and listened to that guy, and so I was thinking, like, well, what would I tell him? And you know, the discussions with Mike we've had about leadership at the point of confrontation.
Yeah.
And those are all.
Well, that's moral courage.
Yeah, those are all. They describe moral courage, contemporary events, and you know, and then the other thing I want to say is this. You know what? We think that young Marines are so different from everybody else. Okay, were they different from the Marines that joined the young men who joined the Marine Corps in the '60s? The '60s, peace, love, and all the rest of that stuff. Everybody had a TV. That was a slight crazy change to life. Everybody had TV now, and you know, and what TV brought into your home, right? Are young Marines so different? I don't think so.
No. Not at all.
I don't think so. This is just my opinion, and you can register yours after I give mine. I believe that we as an institution get squeamish about our own standards and about enforcing our own standards, and so we don't enforce them. And then when they don't live up to what we want, we point our finger at them and say, yeah, these Marines of today, they're different, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they're different. I think they're the same as every other group, and they change like every group does. But they're no different. I think
right.
I think what's different is leaders are different. And I'll tell you what, you don't have to if you read those two reports of the investigations of the McCain and the Fitzgerald, you will see it right there. Not enforcing standards, not doing basics, not going to the navigation meeting before we transit the Moluccan Straits, and then being on the bridge, not watch standards, not qualified, the augmenting the detail, not done until 30 minutes out of port, you know, just all these little shortcuts because, you know, who wants to be the bad guy, blah, 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 and then we blame them.
It goes back to what my big stance was when we were in Afghanistan, was the fact that we always used to say one of the sayings in the Marine Corps was complacency kills. No, it doesn't. Complacency has never killed anybody. What's killed people is poor leadership. Poor leadership breeds like a petri dish. I like that. I've been using that a lot. it just breeds that bacteria like a petri dish does. In a pristine environment for allowing for complacency and other things to take foothold. And then when it happens, then we blame the people that were complacent instead of facing, you know, the inevitable truth that no, it was just because leadership failed. Leadership failed the crew of the Fitzgerald. Leadership failed the crew of the John McCain. It wasn't complacency of the sailors and of the people that were actually doing these things. It was at the highest levels. You know, you can keep going up and you can pinpoint the finger to Paycom where they knew that these problems existed and they chose not to act on.
Yeah, and let me say why? Because nobody wants to be the person that says, because I fucking said so, that's why. And I'm in charge of this.
Yeah.
You know, and so, right. You know, I'll close with this. I'm reading those investigations, Mike, and I'm thinking because running a COC is similar to you know, you got all these inputs, and when it gets really busy and there's kinetic events going on, you have to be comfortable saying, shut up, hold right there, blah, 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 and of orchestrating this thing, and you work on it all the time. And I'm reading this going, this is pathetic. You know,
we're asking those tough questions that you don't want to ask because then you're going to be unpopular. You know?
And I'll tell
no
you,
one wants to be the guy that people
and,
talk about.
And
like,
holding,
oh, man, I can't believe the old man said that.
And hold and holding
my feelings are hurt.
And holding people accountable. I remember I fired a guy and a senior enlisted guy came and wanted to argue with me about it. And I had told this kid and his job was to watch a certain number of chat windows. And when critical events pinged in them, his job was to yell, you know, loud, stand by for urgent medevac, so everybody could hear it. And on two different occasions, he didn't. And I had him counseled. And the third event was a corpsman trying to rig a tow strap to a Humvee, a chain that had slid down in a canal to be pulled out. He slipped and went into the water and was pulled into a culvert and was sucked through with his battle gear on. Was sucked through the culvert. Right, he's gonna drown. He's gonna die. Right. Well,
yeah.
It was a Sunday morning. And I was standing by the door where there was this kind of ledge by where a friend of ours had his desk. And I heard him say something, but I didn't hear across the room. And neither did anybody else. And so I looked at the master sergeant and I said, what did he say? And the master sergeant looked at me and he said, the second time he said, stand by for urgent medevac. And I just threw all my food away. And we prosecuted the medevac, and thankfully the Marine lived, or the sailor lived, the corpsman lived. And but I was so rip shit about it. I just said, get him out of here right now. He can't be in here. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. And if you're not willing, you know, to again, first of all, you got to work with people. But second, there is a standard that you got to live up to, and you got to be okay with being the bad guy at times. And
right.
We have too many people that want to take shortcuts and want to say, no, it's okay that we didn't achieve. It's okay that we didn't do that. It's not okay, especially when you're playing You Bet Your Life. And at the end
right.
of the day, it was so bad on those two ships that a collision alarm didn't get sounded. The ship didn't go to general quarters. And even if they would have hit those alarms 60 seconds before it happened, those sailors who were trapped in their racks, right, would have heard that, like looked around like everybody does and said, is that a drill? And then quickly concluded it's not. And they would have had 15 or 20 seconds to run maybe 30 feet to a ladder and get out of there. And they didn't even get
yeah.
that. They didn't even do that. That's how bad. And in the case of the McCain, the CO was on the bridge when it was happening. So anyway, I don't think
crazy.
Yeah. So no, I think that's what I'm going to say. Leadership at the point of should and so here's another question. Should I bring in a little audio clip of the commandant saying, "Hey, if you punch somebody in the face because you're getting hazed, I don't have any problem with that." Should I bring Should I bring that little audio clip and ask him to tee it up for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might. I think I might. All right, bud. First of all, appreciate all your input. Thanks for the visit. Have a good day.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman, a proud resident of the state of Texas, joins us. That'll do it here on a Monday where you just shake your head. You know, it's kind of interesting because you can see horizontal themes in the program, into different issues. You know, the United States got soft in Eastern Europe. NATO members stopped paying what they should pay relative to maintain their own defense. And as a result, you know, our NATO partnership got weak. In the Western Pacific, I would tell you the same thing has happened. In our armed forces, I think not so much in the Army and the Marine Corps because they've been at war. I can't really comment too much about the Air Force, but I think the Navy, especially the surface Navy, they've sat it out. They've been dealing with social issues and operational issues second. So it seems like this whole, and it's not the young people. I mean, I can tell you, I've seen the young people of this country do the most courageous things I've ever seen. They're ballers. It's not them. They'll live up to any standard that you give them. I guess the question is, will we lead? Good question. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. My thanks to Grant Newsham for coming on, and as always, Mike Musselman for coming on. Have a great afternoon. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.